We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in to the PHNX D-backs post-game show, which apparently I have to host because Derek Montilla is out of commission.
Gonna need this motherfucker tonight. Oh, sorry. Oh my God.
He's holding the swear jar joining us on audio.
For those of you that are on audio, I have lots of money tonight. So just
okay, good. We're covered.
We're just going to be doing this into the swear jar tonight because why is everything terrible? Okay, welcome in to the PHNX Diamondbacks podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as someone that forgot what happiness feels like. This man next to me, far more reasonable, still your vice mayor and still my thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman. Oh, Jesse, I don't even know where to start with this one tonight, because what are we doing here? The Arizona Diamondbacks lose tonight's game to the Seattle Mariners by a count of 6-1, but that by far is not the biggest loss. The biggest loss here is the fact that Zach Gallen exited tonight's game after throwing just 64 pitches with right hamstring tightness. Do we just forfeit? I mean, what do we do?
Just got to call it a season at this point.
What do we do? When we run out of players, what do we do at that point? Go out with eight men? Oh, man. Feels like we're playing with eight men with the way this thing, especially the offense, is going.
Zach Gallen is the third Diamondback starting pitcher in the last week to either be scratched, as Merrill Kelly was, or to exit early, as Ryan Nelson did a week ago today. It has been brutal. This has been a brutal week for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have won a couple of games, but it's been just brutal from an injury standpoint. Not just at the big league level, Derek, but we found out about some injuries happening in the minors today as well, which we'll get to later, that are also not great news for this organization. But I will give some positive news here, Derek, which is that Steve Gilbert, who is covering this game for MLB.com out in Seattle, said that per D-backs manager Torrey Lovello, Zach Gallen had a spasm in his hamstring. They think he will be fine, but they will continue to evaluate him, which
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Your skepticism is understandable because we also heard fairly positive initial updates about pretty much everyone else who is now on the injured list for this Diamondbacks team. I remember when Paul Sewald was mysteriously out in spring training with what I think Torrey Lovello deemed like normal body soreness,
aches. Which I said I could relate to very much so. I have body aches every single day. They were not body aches.
Yeah, and soon that those normal body aches for Paul Sewald wound up being an oblique strain that he has yet to return from at this point in the season. So some skepticism is always going to be warranted, as we've said in the past. The D-backs are always going to represent these injuries as positively as they reasonably can. They're not going to reveal any kind of underlying concerns until they have more clarity on what the outlook is. But it does seem possible that this was just a spasm as it was described, and that, maybe there's a chance Zach Gallen doesn't even miss a start. And that would be good. I mean, that would obviously be a happy ending to what felt like a very, very, very disastrous moment for the Diamondbacks in the sixth.
Right up there with the Corbin Carroll shoulder injury thing from last year, where he just kind of bounces back. If Zach Gallen doesn't miss a start, then everything is okay. But I definitely need some OGs to get over tonight's game. And this show, of course, luckily is brought to you by our friends at OGs. Shout out to OGs Brands, the official sponsor of Flavoring Fridays. Head on over to OGsBrands.com to see their full lineup, including my favorite, their Sleep Edition gummy, as well as their two newest gummies, the OGs Naturals and the Big OGs. Find out where you can purchase. And I'm ready to just give it to this whole game. Jacob, I know I usually wait a little bit longer, but tonight's game, it gets the OG's performance to forget. Just the whole game gets the OG's performance to forget, because holy shit, I wish this game didn't happen. It was a close one, even though the Diamondbacks never actually had a lead, thanks to Josh Rojas, who we spied on yesterday, knowing how good he's been with the Mariners. And it did not disappoint. The very first pitch of the game, Josh Rojas saw. He hit for a home run, 95-mile-per-hour fastball that was hit a mile. And Josh Rojas continues his tear with the Mariners, continues to be one of their best offensive players. Yeah. And that's just incredible. The Diamondbacks they were doomed from the beginning, right? Not only does Josh Rojas hit this home run, but the Diamondbacks have not won a game one of a series since opening day.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Correct.
Can you back that up? That can't be right, but it feels right, because it always feels like in these series, it feels like every game or every time the Diamondbacks are playing a game that they are behind. Even when the game just started, it feels like they're behind. And a lot of that is due to the fact that they've been losing these games out of the gate. Of course,
They've been real close.
I don't want to hear about your close, goddammit. Some
series openers, but, no, they have not managed to. They've not managed to do that. There was the first game of the Giants series, they lost 5-0. So that just sort of was what it was. First game of the Cubs series, that was the Kevin Ginkle wild pitch that allowed Nico Horner to score from second base. That was a very winnable baseball game. You could consider a winnable baseball game earlier in the week against the Cardinals on Monday, when Brandon Pfaadt was kind of cruising along. And then things didn't go so great late for the D-backs. So yeah, they've been in some series openers, but they have not actually won one since opening day.
By the way, Josh Rojas hitting .316. Oh hell yeah, with a .900 OPS. Miss you, Josh. Miss you. Tonight it was fun seeing him just from the get-go messing around with Ketel Marte before Marte's first at bat, but things did not stay fun after that. They quickly turned. Zach Gallen was not very good tonight. We eventually found out why. I imagine that he wasn't feeling right in that hamstring. He did leave the game after throwing 64 pitches with right hamstring tightness. 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, 3 runs, 3 runs allowed, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. He still gave the Diamondbacks a fairly good outing, despite the fact that he was getting hit very, very hard in this game. He was fairly lucky defensively with where some of the balls were being hit to. And luckily, he was able to stay efficient, which allowed him, even with the injury, to go as long as he did. But yeah, they were hitting Zach Gallen all over the place.
They really were. Yeah, 9 out of the 15 batted balls against Zach Gallen in this game were hard hit balls, so 95 or more off the bat. Mariners were making all sorts of hard contact, and as you said, that can work in your favor as long as they're going right at guys. Then that's just going to make you an efficient worker, which is really what Zach Gallen was. I mean, he'd already faced the first batter of the sixth inning. He had just walked Josh Rojas on 4 pitches when the hamstring injury happened, and At that point, he still only had 64 pitches working in the sixth inning. So he was remarkably efficient, but he wasn't particularly effective in this game. Zach Gallen induced only two swings and misses all game, which granted only 64 pitches. This is, you know, he certainly would have continued on had the injury not happened, but he has never had a start in the majors where he only had two whiffs. His previous career low was three. So this was not a good outing for Zach Gallen, even though his final line didn't look all that bad. I thought the eye test was worse than that. He was really missing his spots a lot early in the game. It just seemed like almost every fastball he threw was getting a whole lot of the plate, and Mariners hitters were all over it. You feel like the D-backs would have had a better chance to win this game if Gallen had stayed in and Scott McGuff not been forced into that tough spot. The sixth inning after Zach Gallen departed this game did not go especially well for the Diamondbacks.
Scott McGuff enters with a runner at first and one out.
With nobody out, I think.
With nobody out.
Because he didn't get the first out of the inning until about 15 minutes after that.
He allows a single to Julio. He walks Raleigh and then gives up the grand slam to Mitch Haniger.
Old friend. D-backs legend.
Yeah, D-backs legend, Mitch Haniger. That made it a 6-1 Mariners lead, which they maintained for the remainder of the game. The Diamondbacks offense, like, I want to get mad about that, you know, Scott McGuff. Scott McGuff's just bad. Scott McGuff is just flat out bad. He's just not good. But he was put in a tough spot tonight. So I'm not going to, like, sugarcoat it, or I'm not going to do anything to, like, defend him. But he was asked to come in without warming up. And, I mean, they did let, because of the injury, they do allow him to throw as many pitches
as
he wants to. So if he could have had more time to warm up, he didn't have to, you know, rush or anything there. But the Diamondbacks offense, once again, just goes completely silent. And even if this game had stayed 2-1 and the bullpen was able to hold, you know, that lead, the Diamondbacks offense wasn't able to do much the rest of the game. At times, even when they had runners in scoring position, they ground into double plays. They grounded into three double plays in the first four innings, erasing all but one of their base runners. And yeah, like I said, going back to Scott McGuff, it's two things. And just like when you guys get on me about putting out the bullpen gif, I didn't do that tonight because it really didn't matter, right? It's like, yes, the bullpen sucked, but at the same time, the offense sucked. And Zach Gallen giving up the two runs was enough to win this game for the Mariners. But, you know, McGuff, 7.30 ERA, 295, 365, 545, 545 opponent slash line against him. Opponents are hitting nearly 300 off Scott McGuff. When is enough?
Yeah.
McNuff. I don't know where I came from.
That might have been one of my favorite lines that you've ever used, because I don't know if I was expecting that.
That wasn't one of my favorite lines you've ever used. That was terrible. But
that was on par with Gerald.
I'm proud of that. That makes me proud. But one is enough, Jesse. I mean, it really does feel like at this point the Diamondbacks just they're not in a position to turn anybody away because they don't have enough bodies at this point, especially if they lose Gallen to fill up a lineup. They're going to need everybody that they can get, even guys that aren't performing well right now.
Yeah, they said just a mind-blowing fact at the end of this game, Seabreath Thume on the broadcast. He said that in the last four Diamondbacks wins, they have scored 48 runs, which is a lot of runs for four games.
Oh my God.
And in their last five losses, they have scored 8 runs. And it just continues this narrative that we've talked about for a while, where this offense to this point in the season has been as feast or famine as just about anything that I've seen. It's either that everything is clicking and the Diamondbacks are going to blow the other team to smithereens, or it's going to look kind of like tonight where they just can't get anything going. You know, Kevin Newman hits the homer. That was a nice swing. But outside of that, you mentioned the three double plays in the first four innings. It just seems like the D-backs can't get out of their own way offensively. They're erasing the base runners that they do have. They're not getting enough guys on base in the first place. They're struggling to come through with big hits and big situations. And it's been tough to watch this offense for, man. I mean, their statistics as a team offensively are just so not representative of the day-to-day reality of this offense right now. There have been those games where everything is clicked, but it feels like the vast majority of the time over these last couple weeks, it's looked something like this, where they just couldn't really get anything going consistently.
And I don't know, because at times we've questioned Torrey, Lovello overmanaging maybe games or doing things late in games that put himself in a position, you know, obviously to you know, have to struggle on who he was going to put in extra innings, for instance, right? However, I think that, you know, we didn't really see him managing much in this game to try to get the offense going, try to bring in a pinch hitter or something like that. It was, you know, a pretty significant deficit after McGuff gives up that grand slam. So
yeah.
it really did feel like at that point, it was kind of a rolling over and quitting a little bit. Torey Lovello had a little fight in him, came out and argued, you know, with the ump a little bit about Scott McGuff getting the automatic ball for apparently going to his mouth too many times, as far as for like moisture on his fingers or whatever that was.
Yeah,
automatic
yeah,
ball was
that
for.
Was,
but
that was odd.
I mean, they're just there wasn't a lot of fight in this team offensively tonight. It felt like, I mean, there was some good in all of this ugliness. Kevin Newman hit a solo home run in the sixth that did make it a 2-1 game. And so at least there was a little bit of a dog in Kevin Newman. That was his second dinger of the year. Jock Peterson took some great at bats and walked twice and raised his OPS to 1017, which is great. And he's
so good.
He's been very good at the plate, but he's a guy that needs other people around him doing that. He needs Lourdes Gurriel to not be swinging at first pitch, you know, fastballs that he's way behind and popping them up, you know, automatically. Like, it's frustrating to see Cattell and Jock putting together some good at bats and then the rest of the lineup really not.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I mean, Cattell had a hit and walk in this game. Jock had two walks and a hit by pitch. He was on base three times. Jock, if we want to talk about the positive side for, you know, something positive for the Diamondbacks in these first few weeks, it is that Jock Peterson has been everything you possibly could have imagined him being up to this point in the season. The at-bat quality has been fantastic. We've started to see some power from him in the last couple of weeks as well. His Baseball Savant page is bright red. But yeah, I mean, you can't make a lineup out of two guys right now, right?
Yeah.
And Lourdes is certainly, I mean, by and large, he's been off to a pretty good start, but he hasn't really been clicking in the last week. Eugenio Suarez had a three-hit game the other day, but outside of that, it seems like it's been an O-for every day for, you know, almost the last 2 weeks at this point. And Corbin Carroll, Derek, just continues to struggle offensively. Had some more ugly at bats today. He did hit a ball very hard at one point in this game. I think he had the hardest hit ball in this game at 111 off the bat, a line drive that was right to the second baseman. So that was some tough luck there. But even still, you know, you take that good with some of the bad from his other at bats, and it still doesn't quite look like the Corbin Carroll we saw last year.
What did we do? What did we do to deserve
unplug
this?
Unplug him and plug him back in.
What the fuck did we do to deserve this? Here, let me start putting some dollar bills in here because I'm going to curse a lot. I just don't understand what the fuck we did to deserve this. Why are we in this goddamn position?
Are you talking about Corbin Carroll's struggles?
Just the Diamondbacks at all. What did we do? Did we make some sort of deal with the devil to make it to the World Series last year? And the devil's like, it's going to take all of your players' hamstrings next year. I don't know what's happening, but I can't stand how bad the Diamondbacks' luck is right now. Like, it's not even a matter of just the fact that the players who are healthy are shitty and cannot hit inexplicably. It's the amount of injuries. Like, this is insane. The Diamondbacks lost three of their starting rotation this week. If Zach Gallen misses time this week, Jesse, I just don't understand it. It's not fucking fair. And I don't want to give any more of my money to this jar, but God damn it, I will do whatever it takes. Take my hamstring. You can have my hamstring. Oh God. Justin Martinez, he was fine tonight. Two innings pitched, three strikeouts.
He was really good.
He looked good.
There's pieces of the bullpen that look very good. They just don't all come out in the same night. And that's another frustrating thing. And I don't know what to do about that. But what I do know is what we're going to do about the Kingsnake. Because none of you sons of bitches deserve it. None of it. So who are we giving it to? Jacob, who are we giving it to? We're giving it to Marvin Harrison Jr. One line held. Let's go, baby. We got a generational talent on the Cardinals, and we're celebrating it. Those men over there, by the way, deserve all of their flowers. They have literally been podcasting for what feels like 24 fucking hours straight, and I cannot believe the job that Bo Brack and Johnny Venerable, who I never get to see in person, who's actually here in studio right
now. He's a real person.
Live. He's a real person, not some sort of Disney automated robot or something, but they are actually here still broadcasting. I got here at like 3:30 this afternoon. They were doing the show then, and they're still doing it right now. So congrats to them. Those guys probably deserve King Snake, maybe more than Marvin Harrison Jr., but no, we held the line. I mean, you know who deserves it? Damon. Well, I wouldn't tell him that to his face. You know what I mean?
Can I tell him?
No.
Don't. Why? Do
that. Because I don't want to. But he gets a big
chat. Can big I tell Damon
really fast?
Tell Damon in the Cardinals chat that no. Actually, tell him here.
See, Elizabeth said Johnny's not a hologram. I don't even believe Johnny's a real person when I see him.
Open up a second YouTube tab on your computers right now. Go into the Cardinals chat and tell Damon he deserves the King Snake.
Oh no! Don't do that. Don't do that. You're telling people to actively leave our show.
No, I said open up. I said open up a second YouTube
for 6 hours straight. We take everything.
I said open up a second YouTube tab.
Okay, that's fine. but I think there is one other issue we need to address before we move on. I'm ready. I know you guys probably aren't ready. I mean, it's not statistically dead yet, but I think it's time that we put the purple hair in the grave. You want to put up the tracker? Let's do it. Oh, yeah, four games. You think you're going to win four straight? I dare you to win four straight.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks have to win the last four games in April in order for Derek to dye his hair purple. And that's unfortunate for the rest of us because that doesn't seem very likely at this point. But yeah. Who knows?
I don't have to spend a lot of money on Nutrafol.
Purple might be dead all around.
Yeah, purple.
The Suns are down 16 right now.
Oh no!
Suns are down 16.
No. Oh. All right, I'm done. You want to do the ad reads without me?
Things in Arizona sports aren't great right now. I mean, I guess Marvin Harrison Jr. is a good thing happening in Arizona sports right now. But yeah, there's not really anything else. I will talk about Justin Martinez while I wait for Derek to come back on set here. Justin Martinez was very, very good today, and you still see glimpses every now and then of him, you know, throwing an uncompetitive pitch here or there. I still think there's still room for improvement with his command for sure. But two scoreless innings, three strikeouts. He didn't walk anyone. This was a really good outing for Justin Martinez. And I wonder, you know, the next time that Torey Lovello finds himself in a, you know, a tough spot where you got a guy on base and nobody out in the sixth inning and you're looking for a reliever to get you out of that jam. I wonder if Justin Martinez is in a spot where he's kind of, you know, rising up the totem pole and, you know, maybe we'll get a look in those situations, because as we discussed earlier, Scott McGuff has really struggled in pretty much any situation this season. It's been a really rough start.
No, Scott McGuff has not struggled in any situation other than high leverage situations. If you put Scott McGuff in when they're down by six, he'll pitch an immaculate inning. If you put him down with a 12 run lead, he will once again get you out of it with no runs and no hits scored. But if you put Scott McGuff in with the game on the line, my man is going to give up a grand slam like he did tonight. And I can't explain it. Again, that's the frustrating part, because it is a matter sometimes of a mental game, right? And you have to wonder how much it is for not just Scott McGuff, but a lot of the players on this team that can't seem to step up in the moment. Like, it really does feel like a lot of them are lost. And once they are to that point where they are frustrated, it just is a downward spiral for them, right? Like, they just get to a point where, you know, you have so many guys in the lineup going 0-4 in the last couple of games. And, you know, again, that's the very frustrating part. But then you see what Cattell has continued to do, even on a night where he went 1-for-3, Cattell still had some very good at bats. Jock Peterson, nothing, you know, on the score. He's 0-for-1 tonight with two walks. But the fact that he was hit by a pitch. But Jock Peterson continues to find a way to be productive, even if he's not having a night hitting. And that's what we need out of more of these players. And I mean, hopefully what we can see is them have this pressure alleviate a little bit off of them, because the more they start losing, the more they start feeling this pressure from the injuries piling up and the position that they're in, they're not going to get out of it. They just can't get out of it. But again, yeah, Elise, you're right. This is all because Perdomo went down. Everything has gone to darkness since Perdomo went down. And
I think we really just need Jesse to admit that he means more to this team. He might even be the most important player on the team.
I have never said that Geraldo Perdomo is not an important, a very important component of the Diamondbacks. He's
the most important player on the team.
I will not say that because I do not think it is true.
Damon's done.
I don't even know if Damon would be willing to go there. He's important, though. He's really important because, as we've learned, the Diamondbacks don't have a reliable shortstop defensively. Who also can, you know, give you some reliable offense. It kind of feels like the D-backs are picking, or Torey Lovello is picking between Blaze Alexander and Kevin Newman. He's been, you know, sticking with Kevin Newman by and large recently. And, you know, Newman's not a great shortstop. I think he's, you know, at least fundamentally sound out there. But despite the homer that he hit today, I mean, Kevin Newman has a 577 OPS, you know, especially against right-handers. You're not expecting a whole lot of offense there. And then Blaze, for everything he's done for you offensively, the defense was really shaky early on. I think it's maybe shown some signs of improving, but Torey Lovello doesn't really seem willing at this point to actually give Blaze everyday opportunities. And I can kind of understand why. I mean, there was a play even the other day that was important, that, you know, Blaze wound up committing an error. So yeah, Perdomo has been a huge loss. No doubt about that.
Well, I will tell you again that BetMGM is giving us a chance to bet on baseball and enjoy the opportunity to win big with their Grand Slam Jack prop promotion every weekend. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the Major League Baseball season. You get a chance to place a $10 bet or more on any player to hit a home run every weekend. If that player happens to hit a Grand Slam, you can win up to $50,000 of a daily prize or your share of that prize with every other winning bettor. So get down on it right now. Of course, now Blaze could have won you some money. If you put that money on Blaze to win, you probably would have been the only one doing that. But make sure to sign up right now for BetMGM. Use that bonus code of PHNX. Place your first BetMGM sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10. You will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IOWA. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Not in the mood.
I liked it. It's still good.
I'm not in the mood tonight. Of course,
baritone? Is that baritone?
I went baritone. I went deep. Puerto Rico, like a Disney.
It was more bass too, but
yeah, I can.
You would.
I have range, but of course, I also make sure to trust my money with our friends over at Desert Financial. I have for a very, very long time, because I'm old. Of course, that's one reason why that's the case. But Desert Financial has also been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union for more than 84 years. They're dedicated to creating exceptional experiences by giving back to the community and providing financial solutions that make lives better. Join a credit union that is committed to giving back to the community and sharing success with its members. When you open a free checking account online, get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. Oh boy.
And the Suns are going to lose.
Oh, I don't. Look, right now, I have the guilt of what's happening with the Diamondbacks heaped on me. I don't need another beat, another franchise's losing heaped upon me right now.
They're down 20 now.
Oh God, that's not good. Great. Well, I don't want to know those numbers, but I do want to take a look at the numbers from tonight. Well, I don't really want to take a look at these numbers. I'm
pretty
either,
sure you don't.
But let's go ahead and work the count here, presented by our friends at Desert Financial Credit Union. How are they 1-for-1 with runners in scoring position and they scored 6 runs? Like, what in the hell? This is incredible.
Home runs, Derek, are a powerful thing.
So are walks, Scott McGuff. Seattle scores 6 runs to Diamondbacks 1, 5 hits to 3 hits. I mean, this is not the offensive ass whooping you would think it was. Diamondbacks 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position, so they had their opportunities. They just couldn't convert any of them.
Not too many.
Not too many, right.
Yeah.
Well, the Mariners, one for one, Jesse, so don't even start with me.
But when you're not hitting three homers, then you know, you're going to have to come through in some other ways that the D-backs just were not able to do.
Let's take a look at that again really fast, Jacob, because I'm not done lamenting over this hard hit rate down here. Obviously, the three home runs to one, but Mariners were just pounding the ball tonight against Zach Gallen. And even when they were hitting it for an out, they were still smoking it at 100, you know, mile per hour exit velo.
Yeah, there was a lot of hard contact, like we said, not just against Zach Gallen, but against the D-backs bullpen. You know, obviously that ball against Scott.
Not Guff against Justin Martinez.
Yeah, Justin Martinez, he was pretty good out there. But yeah, the D-backs didn't make a ton of hard contact. And you look at their last game in St. Louis combined with this one, Derek. I mean, the Diamondbacks had one extra base hit combined between those two games. Just the home run today from Kevin Newman. And it's, as I discussed on the show the other day, it's really, really hard to win games or to score runs when everything you hit is a single, because you just have to find a way to string a bunch of them together. And the D-backs have not had enough, you know, frequency of base hits in general to do that. So it's been rough offensively.
Well, Chris Melton in the chat says, Jody just tweeted about Zach and I'm holding that glow. So if you're curious as to what Jody Jackson tweeted, she just tweeted 3 minutes ago that Zach Gallen said he does not expect to miss time.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. I'll put more money in the swear jar. I won't even swear. I'll just put more money in it. If that's what it's going to take, I will put my whole wallet in there. Tony, thank you for the super chat. Tony says, keep the faith, Mr. Mayor. It's still April. Just think about them Korean pork nachos and soon those hurt players will be back.
So you needed to hear.
I love you, Tony. I appreciate that. I absolutely need to hear that. That kind of rejuvenated my soul a little bit, because those numbers definitely take it out of me. This was a very fast moving game until we started talking excessively about how fast it was moving. And then that terrible sixth inning happened. And even that was very fast. But the Diamondbacks, again, they just confound me when it comes to the first game of these series. They did it on opening day. They gave us a little taste of what they could do, but then again, still have not won a game one of a single series this entire season. And that it's like you're constantly down 0-1, 0-2 in the pitch count. You know, that's kind of what it feels like, where you're just kind of scrambling to at least win one, not get swept, try to win the series, but kind of have your back against the wall because you have limited number of games to do it.
You think it's worth still having the conversation of what would the Diamondbacks do if Zach Gallen did miss time?
Yeah, because I don't believe anything that they say when it comes to these players being injured.
That's
I don't believe Zach Gallen. I don't believe
well.
The medical experts. I don't believe Torey Lovullo. I don't believe anything. I think he's going to wake up tomorrow and things are going to be different. And they're going to all of a sudden hear about him going and needing imaging. And I'm going to cry in my room. So if
Zach Gallen did need to miss time, which again, I think it is likely that if that's what Zach Gallen said, that will probably be the case, that he won't need to miss time. But it would put the D-backs in a tough spot, because they, with the Merrill Kelly injury, Slade Ciccone stepping in, it felt like Slade Ciccone was the last piece of reliable starting pitching depth that the Diamondbacks had. The next guy I could think of would be Bryce Jarvis. And I don't know if the team is willing to, you know, have Jarvis starting as a reliever and then convert him back to being a starter. We saw how that went last year with Dre Jameson, and it did not end well, right? Correlation, causation, you know, say about that what you will. But it did not end well. And I think the D-backs would like to avoid that if they can. So if you weren't going with Bryce Jarvis, then, you know, Logan Allen has been around and, you know, I guess is stretched out to some degree. I guess he could step in. But at that point, I mean, you're looking at Jordan Montgomery, Brandon Pfaadt, and then a lot of young unproven arms, right? Ciccone, Henry, and then Logan Allen, I guess.
Thank God for Jordan Montgomery.
It would become extremely dire. And he has been very, very good so far. So yeah, that's certainly a big positive in the last couple weeks as well. But hopefully for the D-backs, Gallen, as he said, does not need to miss time. And we don't have to even think about this question because it would not be an easy one for the Diamondbacks to answer.
No, no. Solario in the chat says, breaking news, Derek Montilla has been recalled from PHNX Diamondbacks to pitch to game two of this series. We are doomed.
How's the arm feeling?
We are not good. As I was reading that, I think I tore my UCL. I'm not sure.
Didn't you say you were telling us the other day that you could relate with Ryan Nelson because you had an elbow contusion?
I have a right elbow contusion.
Like bumping it into your kitchen counter or something?
You were there. I hit it on the desk, bumping it. Don't underplay the injury by saying bumping it. I hit it drastically on the desk. I caused damage to my right elbow. Craig got video of it. It's graphic. It's a graphic video that's on social media. But anyway, I have been known to lie, of course, as you guys know. But the numbers, they definitely don't not lie. They do not lie. So let's take a look at tonight's numbers. Jesse, what do you got for tonight's number that does not lie?
Yeah, so tonight's number is 13, which again? I guess, apparently I really like the number 13.
That's not a lucky number at all. Yeah,
today's Friday, too.
There's a lot of connections.
That doesn't seem right. So today's number is 13, and it has maybe a little bit less significance given the positive news that we just heard about Zach Gallen. But Jacob, can we pull up the injured list graphic that we have? Do we have that ready?
Is it 13 injured players again?
Yeah, there are 13 players on this list. So this is the injury report graphic that we started a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, at one point you could actually read what was on here. But now the font is so small that, you know, especially if you're on like an iPhone, it'd probably be pretty tough to make this out. But Zach Gallen, we do have him on here for good reason, you know, even though the initial report seemed to be pretty optimistic. He still is someone who he's not on the injured list, but he is someone who has, you know, an injury sort of status at this point, something to monitor moving forward. And if he were to go on the injured list, Derek, he would become the 13th player on the Diamondbacks 40-man roster who is on the injured list, which, as I touched on the other day, the D-backs are getting to a dangerous point where every time you put a player on the 15-day IL, but not the 60-day,
right,
you don't get you don't get their 40-man roster spot back to use on someone else. That's just like a dead spot. And so the D-backs are already in a place where they have very few players on the 40-man who are healthy, who can step in to, you know, take one of these spots for one of the other guys. So hopefully for the D-backs, Gallen avoids the IL stint. And we don't have to go any further down this road because they're already in a very precarious position as far as, you know, finding replacements for these guys that are hurt. There's not a lot of options on the 40-man right now.
And it would appear that Paul Sewald is going to need at least one more rehab start before he returns. We don't have that officially yet, but that looks like the direction that he's trending. So hopefully we can get Paul Sewald back here soon, and that can help stabilize this bullpen quite a bit.
Would have been cool if he could return in Seattle. I'm sure he was gunning for that and really, really wanting to do that. But you can understand the Diamondbacks wanting to be careful there. And make sure he's good to go.
Especially after
still
with
way Ebron. Early here.
Oh, he's like, way ahead of schedule.
Scary
how ahead of schedule
it's,
he is.
I mean, they're still less than 30 games into the season. Like we're early, and it's like, I know that they're 3 games under 500 and this sucks, but like there are still like 120 games left to play. So like, does it make sense to rush him back?
No.
Because like in the grand scheme of things, while every game like this matters, they made the playoffs by one game at the end of last year. I get it. But if you can tread water while you have 13 guys on the injured list, that's a win.
I just can't wait for that point this season. And I know it's going to come when national media starts talking about the surging snakes and where these team from Arizona all of a sudden came from. And it's going to be like, it's because half of our team was missing and we got them back. And when this team is whole, this team is going to be connected and dangerous once again. But we don't know when that's going to happen, how long that's going to take. And like Jacob said, don't know if they can tread water that long in order for them to be in a position where they're not so far behind, much like the Mariners, because that, interestingly enough, was a story Paul Sewald told us during spring training about how you can start off slow, but, you know, the Mariners, they had that thing where they started off slow and they just kind of expected eventually that they would get things going and catch everything back up, and it, that never came.
Yeah, I guess another, like, this is not necessarily a positive, but
no.
But the, no. I mean, you look at all the guys who are on the list that we just showed, and you know, pretty much all of them are guys you expect to get back at some point, not too far from now, right?
Sure.
You know,
the next 60 days.
Yeah, like Dre Jameson. Okay, he's out for the season. We've known that from the beginning. Merrill Kelly is most up in the air for sure. I mean, you know, you hope that he's able to get back sooner than later. Torrey, as we discussed yesterday, was not sure if Merrill would be back by the All-Star break, which of course is not something you want to hear. But I do think there's still a world in which Merrill Kelly comes back on July 1st, say. And, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez, talking about June there, Alec Thomas getting pretty close, it sounds like. Geraldo Perdomo, theoretically, you know, in the next 2 to 4 weeks or so. Paul Sewald getting pretty close, as we just discussed. So on paper, there's still a world where, like, you know, at least in mid-July, say, this Diamondbacks team is pretty healthy and suddenly looks very, very good and very different from the team that we've been watching up to this point. Now, granted, we've certainly learned this lesson over the last few weeks. You don't necessarily just lose someone and then you just get to wait it out with everyone else healthy until they come back. Other injuries tend to arise as you're waiting for other guys to get back. But you don't expect it to continue at the rate that it's been at so far, because this is ridiculous what the Diamondbacks are going through right now.
And obviously, I mean, like we said earlier, there's some sort of bad mojo going on here.
They made the World Series last year, Derek, and there is something that,
like, agreements.
It feels like they.
It's not. I don't know if it's a hangover though. I feel like it's their bodies didn't get enough rest.
But even I don't know. I mean, like,
nobody's in on my deal with the devil kind of thing.
Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't part of that, right? Ryan Nelson wasn't really part of that. You could make a case, like, I don't know, did Geraldo Perdomo tear his meniscus because the D-backs were playing in November still? Like, I don't know. It's hard to really go down that road and make any sense of anything. But
none of this makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't really buy the World Series hangover argument, because, like, Ketel Marte is raking, right? And Lourdes Gurriel has been off to a good start. And Christian Walker hasn't been great, but I wouldn't say he's been terrible. I wouldn't necessarily classify this as a World Series hangover. Corbin Carroll is really the one guy who was really good last year, who's come out this year and just not been at all the same player. But who's to say if that's really because of the World Series?
It really felt like Corbin Carroll, when he went last year, the team went. And it kind of feels like that might be what's missing right now. Like, that's their guy. And he's not going. He's not on the base pass. Yeah. He's not causing problems. Perdomo causes problems on the base pass. Jake McCarthy should be starting almost every game right now, because he causes problems on the base pass.
Would you guys want Jake McCarthy? I mean, I think Torrey made the decision to start Pavin in right field over Jake McCarthy. Would you rather?
He's only
have
made one
McCarthy
error all year. Like, he's not been bad.
That wasn't the problem tonight. But I mean, again, it's like Pavin is not an offensive threat. He's not a guy that can at times generate offense the same way McCarthy can. So I think I would rather see Jake out there, but I don't think it really would have made a huge impact tonight. I really don't. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think that the Diamondbacks bats are cold and scared of curveball, you know? And I'd like to address Joe Boo while we're on the topic of this whole thing. Look, Joe Boo, I good to you. I stick up for you. And this is how you treat me? Fuck you, Joe Boo. The Diamondbacks do it themselves. I don't know. I really, at this point, have no idea what the Diamondbacks can do to kind of get out of this, you know, kind of what feels like, even though it's not as bad as it feels like, this rut that they're in. And it just, I think the problem is that right now we don't know when that relief is going to come. Hopefully Paul Sewald is the beginning of that, like getting Sewald back. Like, yeah. I said about, you know, all of these guys that are missing, those little sparks along the way could be things that could hopefully give this team a boost every time one of those guys come back. But I don't know. But what I do know is that tonight's a great night for OGs, a perfect night, especially with the way that Suns game is going. I think the entire Cardinals crew deserves some OGs. And so do you for being an Arizona sports fan. OGs has launched, of course, their two newest products, which is their OGs Natural and their Big OGs, available everywhere now. Of course, OGs Naturals are vegan gummies, and Big OGs, single 100 milligram OG that you can cut into perforated slices, or you can just do what I do and eat the whole thing. But they're all great. They'll all help you break out of your funk, especially after a loss like this. To learn more about OG's gummies and where you can find them, head on over to OG'sbrands.com. Must be 21 or over to enjoy, and please enjoy responsibly. Also, if you do want to come out and see some Arizona Diamondbacks baseball, like when they return here against the Dodgers after this series against the Mariners, you can save on your tickets with our friends from Game Time. Save on last-minute ticket deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. They even have flash deals on their website or on their app, exclusively on their app, on select seats ahead of the game. You can check out the view from the seats. You can see zone deals where you can choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats for you in that section, and you'll save even more. And they also offer the lowest price guarantee. If Game Time does not get you the lowest price, they will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Well, the Diamondbacks main roster isn't the only one experiencing injury after injury after injury. The Diamondbacks right now are like the movie Final Destination, but with injuries. Instead of death coming for everybody that was on the plane, it's the IL, and it's coming for everybody in the Diamondbacks organization. I already got bitten by the IL bug. Obviously, we talked about that earlier. But even when you're just sitting innocently in the dugout, Jesse, you're not safe there, are you?
Apparently not, Derek. Diamondbacks top pitching prospect, Yumin Lin, I was told, took a line drive or was hit by a line drive while just standing in the dugout.
That's awful. Because you know how dangerous that could be, right? You know how those line drives, especially if you just look away for a second, can be smoked right in your direction when you're standing in the dugout.
This was not Yumin Lin's day to pitch. Yolmer Diaz is on the mound tonight for Amarillo. But I was told that he left with paramedics, which is never something that you want to hear. So one of those situations is bigger than just baseball, right? I mean, we all know how much, getting hit with a line drive, a line drive baseball in any scenario, especially at this level when people hit the ball very hard, is always a scary thing. So hopefully all is well there. Haven't gotten any updates or anything just yet, but continuing the trend of D-backs injuries for sure, not just at the big league level, but with their farm system. Jordan Lawler, of course, with that torn ligament in his thumb, he's still going to be out for, you know, another month and a half at this point. Gino Groover breaking his wrist within the last week or two. He had surgery and is missing several months with that. Tommy Troy went on the injured list today. Reported that earlier today. And he's on the 7-day IL. And Diamondbacks farm director Sean Larkin told me that he would be out for about 4 to 6 weeks. That's the current expectation. That was an injury he suffered on Sunday in his final at bat. He was grabbing in his left hamstring after running up the first baseline. And fairly extended absence there for a hamstring. It must have been a little bit more intense than, say, the injury that Alec Thomas had. So bad news really across the board tonight, Derek. I wish I could give some kind of positive spin here.
Drew Jones hit a homer.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
He went Drew 2-for-3. His batting average is .218 and his OPS is almost over 700.
Okay. Okay. All
that's right, that's a comeback.
All right. Fosh.
Come on. Hey, we might be back.
All right. We back.
We might be back.
No, we're not back.
Adrian Del Castillo was 0-for-4 though. And his slash line reduced to .350, .400.
I think he'll be okay.
.670.
Drew Jones actually played pretty well here in his last few games. If you go back to April 17th, he would be, I want to say, 7 for the last 21 at the plate. So that's a .333 average. There's been some slug in there as well. A few extra base hits along the way, including that homer today that Jacob mentioned. So there you go. Drew Jones is, showing some signs of life down in single A right now.
Dave is bringing up the fact that it's not sharp. That's the problem, is it's not sharp. So I can't hurt myself with it right now. But Benjamin just wants to make the pain even worse. I think he said something about MHJ tearing his ACL at the Suns game. He also said that the Coyotes just won the draft lottery. So he just wants to pile on. I'm not going to engage him any further. But I will discuss the probable pitchers for the rest of this series, because the Diamondbacks hopefully can turn things around. They'll inevitably score 75 runs in one of these games and then get two hits in the other one. But they have Slade Coney going tomorrow against Kirby, Fott against Gilbert. Gilbert's been very, very good this season. George Kirby's been pretty good himself.
George Kirby, yeah, he's a much better pitcher than his 5.33 ERA would lead you to believe, for sure. Just pounds the strike zone, has a good pitch mix. Logan Gilbert has like six different pitches. I think he added a cutter this year. He has a splitter that's a little bit newer to his arsenal as well. He's been throwing the ball really well. So D-backs have their work cut out for him, right? I mean, on paper, the Zach Gallen, Emerson Hancock game, like that was the game out of the series that you felt pretty good about. And now you're left with two games where the Mariners have a pitching advantage on paper for sure.
I just don't know how the Diamondbacks offense gets back on track against two very good starting pitchers. I don't know where that will come from. So,
yeah,
of course, something very confusing will happen. It'll probably be like the Logan Gilbert game that they break out or something of the sort. But I don't know. Meanwhile, things are all over the place with former Diamondbacks. We found out today that Wade Miley is going to undergo Tommy John surgery, and that's kind of unfortunate.
You're just trying to needlessly pour it on with bad news, huh, Derek? You just looked up some former Diamondbacks and like some bad things that are happening to them. Is that what you did?
Baltimore Orioles option Jackson Holliday. He was terrible at the plate.
Okay, all right. Is that viewed
really
as a,
bad?
Is that viewed really as a good thing around here? Do D-backs fans take joy in Jackson Holliday, who made it to the majors already?
Drew Jones is hitting .218 and A-ball.
Yeah, I'm just looking for things to bring me joy. The White Sox selected the contract of Tommy Pham.
There we go. All right, there's some positive news.
But see, it's the White Sox, so they're never going to win baseball games with him on the team, and thus we're never going to get drunk Tommy Pham asking guys if they play basketball in the locker room.
Tommy Pham going from the World Series playing for the Chicago White Sox is one of the sadder, you know, career turns. Good to see Tommy Pham finally get an opportunity.
At this point, he probably would have been on the Diamondbacks main roster. I'm sure they would have called him up by this point and given him a shot at shortstop or something. I don't know.
It's never too late to teach.
I've got one. Former D-backs.
What do you got?
Josh Rojas hit a home run.
Oh, go to hell. Go to hell. I don't like that one at all.
You know, Dominic Canzone, I've been hearing some good things about him too.
No.
Mitch Haniger?
Oh,
anybody?
Yeah, there we go. That's a good one. Yeah. Mitch Haniger. You love to see former Diamondbacks going out and having a good cruise for themselves, yeah. Derek.
So. I'm going to wrap this up because I don't want to do this show anymore. Not with you, not with him, not in this building, not about this team anymore. Because I might be struck by the injury bug. Like I said, it's coming for all of us. But, man, I'll tell you, this is a rough one. And the Diamondbacks, hopefully, can get things back on track. Usually they're pretty good when we do post game shows, so they're even letting us down.
Yeah. I will say just before we sign off here, it's still April, right? The Diamondbacks are very far from whole right now. They're only three games under .500. Like, this is not a good start. This is not I'm not trying to say that anything that's happened so far for the D-backs
is earlier.
But I'm trying to end on a positive note here, Derek. All right.
Go. Do you have more?
That's pretty much it. It's just, the sky is not falling yet, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That would have been perfect time for a ceiling tile to fall down or something. All right. Well, we do appreciate you guys joining us here for this post-game show. Of course, we'll be back on Monday with our 1 p.m. show. Make sure to drop us our Mailbag Monday questions. Check out Jesse's On the Record, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal conversation you had.
Great stuff.
Yeah, Dave Sims is possibly my favorite play-by-play broadcaster in all of baseball.
Fantastic.
Right now. So yeah, it was a lot of fun getting to chat with him.
We were just listening to calls.
Dave Sims has some pretty legendary calls, big moments when the Mariners made the postseason in 2022. ending an extended drought of the Mariners not, I think, 20 years, more than 20 years of the Mariners not making the postseason. They finally made it, and he nailed that call, as he nails all of the big moments. And that's something I very much value in a play-by-play broadcaster, is having a voice that can, you know, really rise to the occasion in the biggest moments that fans are going to remember for a long time. And Dave Sims does that as well as just about anyone else.
That's very true. Well said. So make sure to check that out. Of course, like I said, we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, Faj is at @Jacob_Franklin4, because he's the fourth best Jacob Franklin in known existence. He's still a top five Jacob Franklin. So, like, that's kind of, by saying he's the fourth best, it makes it sound like, oh, there's three other better Jacob Franklins. Yes, that's fine. But there's lots of Jacob Franklins out there, and at least he ranks
in the top five. It's a pretty generic white man name.
Yeah.
Fourth place is actually really good.
There's a lot of Jacob Franklins in the world, for sure.
I remember when I ranked in the top, like, 100 in Call of Duty one time, I was very excited. It was only for, like,
you have to take into account how many people there are, how big is the pool. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
See, and he doesn't even get video games, but he got that reference. So I appreciate that. Of course, our show's at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again for stopping by. Like I said, we'll see you next week. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you don't have 13 players on the injured list. My God.